It's Flaming Dragon Friday here at Crane and Company. We appreciate you joining us. Got a fantastic show for you today. To my left, as usual, former Michigan quarterback David Cone. To my right, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. And we have the scoop and are going to get joined by On3 Sports' Pete Nakos, who was involved in the Nico situation in Tennessee. He gives us all the gory details and some updates. We talk about the dwarf toss that Mike Leach almost implemented when he was coaching in college football. And Deion Sanders says something that may be interpreted as hypocritical when it comes to tampering in the transfer portal. All that and more on the Friday edition. Crane and Company. We are very excited to be joined by a rock star right now in the NIL and transfer portal game, let's be honest. From On3, their college sports business and transfer portal reporter, Pete Nakos. Pete, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I can't believe it's been a week since this all happened.
Yeah, and look, that's where I want to start. And obviously, not going to ask you to divulge any of your amazing sources that you have. But man, for people that don't really know what happened, can you kind of explain to them like what went down? And just, you know, for lack of a better term, when you saw the tweet from Nico's father that, you know, called you a bitch, let's be honest, what it said, like how shocked were you? Like this whole... Just explain to people like what happened, because it turned out in the end, you were right.
Yeah, you know, guys, I wasn't surprised about the tweet. That was probably the least surprising thing in this entire process, is being called out on social media. The most surprising thing, though, is the fact that he actually went in the transfer portal. Like that, I'm still trying to wrap my head around about how we went from active negotiations to him possibly going to UCLA in the transfer portal. So wild times. Didn't think it was going to end that way. Just didn't. When I put that story out Thursday, I knew that entering the portal was definitely like on the table. Just didn't see it going in that direction.
Yeah. Well, if you follow the bouncing balls, and that's something that we've talked about here, you know, it's crazy that you break the story that there's a possibility that he could enter the transfer portal. His father comes out with a tweet attacking you, saying that's not true, saying they're playing more games off the field than on the field, calls you out by name. And then when all that's done, they decide to enter the transfer portal, knowing that would totally, you know, make you correct in this whole situation. Like it is such a crazy time. But were you hearing about the negotiations before the college football playoff, and then obviously through the spring, and it just got to a point where Tennessee was just like, we're not going to pay this. You're either going to leave or take the money we're giving you.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about the college football playoff stuff, to be honest with you. That wasn't really on my radar when I put out what I did last week. I know Josh Pate talked about it, and definitely that's a super interesting situation. You know, he did miss a couple winter workouts, though. That's kind of like a contract ploy. Like, that was kind of a red flag, but you know, then he got through spring ball and everything, kind of thought everything was going to work out. And to be honest with you, like when I put out the story last week, I thought it was just going to result in, you know, Nico coming out and saying something like, I'm a ball for life. We're going to work this out or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the complete opposite of that happened.
Yeah, I mean, there was no capitulation, Cone.
Yeah, I mean, to catch some people up who might not know what we're talking about, this is the relationship between Tennessee football and quarterback Nico Iamaliava. And when you broke this story, you know, it's one thing for like several weeks later for the kid to enter the transfer portal, you know, I'm going to change schools. All this happened so quickly. I mean, by the time we're hearing the breaking news that you're putting out about that there's tension at all with Tennessee and their starting quarterback from last year, and then his father calls you out, it's like less than 24 hours, and he's already entered the transfer portal. So can you talk about just like how you said that part surprised you? How did that come so quickly? Because his father was saying that you're lying and that this is not even about the money. This is the style of offense, which like we have a graphic we can get to on Tennessee's offense under Josh Heupel and how Nico underperformed in every category, but just the whole timing of this situation.
Yeah, so it all kind of kicked off. Like that Thursday morning, I got a phone call like, hey, Nico's going in the transfer portal. And it came from someone completely outside of the Tennessee building and not Nico's camp, but someone that time and time again has been right on a lot of this stuff. And I was like, okay, like, obviously we're not going to just run a story saying Nico's going in the portal from one source. So you start to try to put a full picture together, talk to some schools that you hear might be in the mix, talk to what's going on at Tennessee. I actually called Nico's dad and he told me to lose his phone number, which he definitely did not downplay that at all. so you kind of put together this picture and it makes her a very interesting story. In terms of putting that story out, like I thought it was needed to give the full clarity of like what was going on in the moment and how in a week's time, if things didn't go great from what I had heard, maybe Nico could hit the portal, but just really didn't see it playing out the way it did.
So in that week's time, we started to hear that, well, now no one else wants him. I mean, North Carolina was in the mix for a while, then they're out of the mix. Then it's like, no, he's going to have to go to Tulane, and now Tulane's out of the mix. Well, as of the last couple of days, it sounds like it's UCLA, but then On3 put out a graphic that said UCLA is not a done deal either. Where do we sit right now? And what is the financial situation? I mean, did he improve his NIL number wherever he's going to go?
I don't know what that exact number is going to be at UCLA. They definitely seem to still be in discussions or things like that. I know Bruce Feldman at The Athletic reported that he's expected to land there. I don't have it yet to like say like that's true, but at the same time, I everything that I've heard in the last week lines up for that to line up and for him to end at UCLA. Just not ready to say that it's a done deal just yet. In terms of how much money he's going to get, it's going to be far less than the $4 million he got from Tennessee.
Can I bring up the irony of, to me, and I guess funniest is the only word I can come up with. And again, you can agree with the way that Nico and his family handle this or disagree. But Nico asks for, you know, $4.5 million, whatever it was, whatever the number was from Tennessee. He ends up having to leave Tennessee. And the number I've seen, if he does go to UCLA, is somewhere around $1.5 million, which is going to be almost $1 million less, and maybe even more than that, than what he was making at Tennessee. So it looks like he's going to lose money with what happened. Yet the person that he called out, or his father in camp called out, just got a raise at On3. So Pete Neckos is going to make more money. Nico's going to make less money. What a wild, ironic situation there. But I tell you what, Pete, you know, we've known and we've known you for a while. And you deserve it, bro, because, I mean, you got that's a big scoop that ended up coming to fruition. Mm. That you actually knew what was going on inside Nico's camp, it seems, more than what Nico's camp knew. You basically Owen Wilson from behind enemy lines them, and I just think it's incredibly impressive.
Well, Pete, I want to ask you this, because we obviously know what happened with Nico's father, but you said you called Nico's dad before that, and he said to lose his number. Was there anything more to that conversation before the ending result of having to lose his number?
Yeah, he just kept telling me that I knew more than he did, but didn't really want to go on the record and decline it.
Yeah, so you basically – so has he tried to reach back out at all after the dust has settled and he looked the way he looked on X, which is a complete idiot? Has he tried to reach back out to you at all in any way to apologize for one, being wrong and calling you that?
No, there's been no contact. I have tried to call multiple times, though, to try to be like, is Nico going in the transfer portal? Is Nico going to UCLA? Because you would know best, so, but no contact there.
God, man, at the end of the day, who really looks like the bitch now?
No, well, it's just crazy. So, Pete, is this, how isolated is this situation, the holding out allegedly during some winter workouts, then obviously what happened in the spring? Is this the most, I don't want to say egregious, but is this an isolated case as compared to everything else you've covered? Or have you seen this happen before, but it maybe end up in a different way where the guy ends up staying?
You know, there's shades of this in a lot of like what happened with Nico. There's shades of it across college football. Like I've heard plenty of instances where, right, they want more money, right? Active negotiations like that goes on. But you know, I also look at what happened at Florida with Jaden Rashada to an extent, just because of how, you know, the contract negotiation. Jaden Rashada signed that contract and then it was voided, but the part of the Jaden Rashada thing that I kind of feel like holds true with Nico is like, they wanted to get the most money, and we obviously saw how that played out with Jaden, and now we've seen how it played out with Nico. So obviously what happened at Tennessee with Nico is definitely the most public divorce of the NIL era we've ever seen, but I by no means is it like the first instance anything like that has happened.
Yeah. Well, Ken, it's going to be interesting to see what Tennessee does at quarterback, Tim.
Yeah, for sure. And Pete, while we have you, what's the latest on Notre Dame quarterback Steve Angeli? Has he officially entered the transfer portal? If so, why? Is Notre Dame leaning towards C.J. Carr or one of their other quarterbacks? Or does Steve Angeli see a spot like Tennessee or a spot elsewhere around the country that is more favorable for him?
Yeah, so he officially went in yesterday afternoon. Everything I've heard to this point is like Tennessee is definitely not going to be like the top school, right? Like that's not exactly the number one name for Tennessee right now. And I think Steve Angeli wants to go somewhere where he can definitely play. You know, Purdue's in the market for a quarterback. Interested to see if they might take a waiver on a Steve Angeli just for a year. That's kind of what I'm hearing right now. But in terms of Steve and Tennessee, I don't. At this point, I don't really see how far down the road they're going to go together.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Is there a name you're hearing that Tennessee is targeted at the top of their list, or is there a couple guys, maybe a guy that's not even in the portal yet, which I know, again, you don't want to get too far out in front of a guy who hadn't said and declared he's going to enter the portal, but does Tennessee, in your opinion, at least from what you've heard, have a target in mind, like a number one target, like this is our guy? Or are they keeping on seeing how kind of the transfer portal flows?
They're doing a heck of a job of keeping it on the DL if there's a top guy, because I keep hearing a ton of names and none of them are in the portal. And even when I think I have figured out, someone tells me that's not who they want. So there's definitely a type, though. I will say that, right? Like if they're going to like bring in a transfer, it's definitely going to be a proven Power Four starter.
Yeah.
Or it's going to just be a body. It's going to be someone who can like just like, you know, provide some depth with George McIntyre and Jake Merkinger.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see, guys, where Tennessee goes from here. But, Pete, thanks, man, so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can find your work. I know you're going to be breaking news left and right because, you know, I know there's timing and dates on the transfer portal, but we all know it's always open at the end of the day. But tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on 3.com, and then I'm also on X at PeteNakos_. So that's where I'm at.
Hell yeah, Pete.
Pete, you're doing a great job, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Pete.
Appreciate you guys. See you.
Yeah, well, that was a close call for Pete. He got away with it because he's one of the best in the business. But let me tell you about a close shave. Some razors are made for soy lattes and safe spaces, but Jeremy's razors, they're made for men with a backbone and a beard to tame, engineered with 5 stainless steel blades and 0 apologies. No lecture, no pandering, just a razor that works. Find out why 250,000 men switch to the politically incorrect razor for men. Shave boldly, live freely. Visit jeremysrazors.com today. I mean, look at Cone's beautifully shaved, smooth face. You know, mine as well, but my facial hair grows at an incredible rate. Blaine, you were actually on the Jeremy's Razor commercial.
Yeah, Black
and,
Jeremy.
And the acting, I got to admit, was pretty good.
Look, I mean, obviously, I learned from both of you and Lady Ballers how to act, and y'all did a great job. So now, you know, I'm just actually breaking the ceiling, and apparently I'm going to be in the new Star Wars movie. I don't know if y'all
heard. What a humble response, right?
Thank you.
There.
Wait, but, well, he already has the Han Solo outfit.
That is true. You're a step ahead. How'd you get that razor to talk?
Yeah.
NIL.
Really?
Yeah. A bag.
Yeah. Well, speaking of NIL, make sure you go to jeremysrazors.com today. Shave boldly, live freely, Jeremy's Razors. All right, boys, let's get back to it. What a wild story.
Wild. And two more things on this subject that I do think are wild. One, Urban Meyer. Can we talk about Urban Meyer?
Oh, please. I was going to say something. Yeah.
Go ahead. You want to read this then?
Well, it says Tennessee is screwed. This is from On3. They've got a problem. Everyone's saying, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand.
I've got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine that game going the other way? And Coach Heupel grabs the microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium, says, "It's okay, I made a stand way back when."
What a bad.
You know, Urban Meyer, huge locker room culture guy. I mean, at the end of, I would just say, I think Coach, what Coach Heupel did was right. Like, I think he made the right decision, because how many times are you going to let a 19-year-old, you know, ask for more money? It gets to a point, do you have a culture? Are you a cash register? And what was Nico's the price? Was Nico the price of keeping that locker room?
Okay. I totally understand what both of you are saying. I'm not going to sit up here and make an argument that Urban Meyer was running, you know, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood in the locker room.
Good.
But I will say this. Tough. And it's tough because Urban Meyer has not coached in college during the NIL transfer portal era. I mean, Nick Saban, the greatest of all time, said, "Look, I'm bouncing. I'm out of here."
Well, not during the legal era.
Yeah. Yeah.
True, David. Yeah. True, if we're going to get technical.
Lasers.
But part of me believes if Urban was the head coach of Tennessee, Nico stays there.
Oh, yeah, that's our point.
Well, again, he brings up a good point. Like, and Urban Meyer can have his opinion, and we can laugh at you know, some of the stuff, and some of the stuff's obviously very serious with the Aaron Hernandez situation there. But like, how far does this? If you're a Tennessee fan, right? Because I think about it for my personal fandom. Would I rather the head coach risk, you know, maybe pissing some people off in the locker room, but we go 10-2 and make the college football playoff, as opposed to we went 6-6. But yeah, Coach Heupel, you stood up and told, because fans have short memories.
I get it, but and no one wants to go 6-6. But you also don't want to allow your team to be leveraged and be celebrating players who are not honoring their contract.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be funny when. I think he's right about the Tennessee fans. They're like, he's digging in for the state of Tennessee. Okay, the first game that you lose and the quarterback throws three picks, those same people are going to turn on Josh Heupel. But that's the nature of the business, David. That's why you get paid all this money as the head coach.
If it was like Nico,
so what's worth more? I think Heupel made the right decision.
If Nico just tore it up last year, just absolutely tore it up.
But see, that'd be a different situation. This would never happen if he did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously they think he did. I mean, they want to ask for more money.
No, I'm talking about if he balled last year, Tennessee would have paid him what he asked. They'd have found a way to pay him, but he didn't. So if he would have balled, this would have been a moot point at the end of the day. I mean, it's a weird.
Will you sell your soul for one player?
No.
Now, in the long run, it's not a good thing.
You can't do it.
No.
You cannot do it.
Just can't do it. Especially not if you're a football coach. Like, you're supposed to be a leader of young men, which sort of gets to a positive aspect of this. Can we bring up the pastor who was kidnapped? I wasn't that familiar with the story, but Clay Travis put this out, said a Tennessee pastor who was kidnapped in South Africa and then rescued in a gun battle shortly thereafter was upset mostly to hear about all the Nico drama and the Vols would be without their quarterback. Does it just mean more?
the European mind can't understand.
Football guy.
Yeah, like if you're from across the pond, this is going to look and sound crazy to you. And I get it. I get it. Now, y'all have soccer and y'all are super passionate. Is it crazy? Is it crazier that the situation happened? Or this does not surprise me at all? It does not surprise me at all. I think this is the greatest example of the it just means more. Now, look. Could it mean too much? That's not the argument.
You don't say stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not the argument here. But this is the shining example. If I am Greg Sankey and I'm the commissioner of the SEC, I may give this guy a spot.
Yeah.
Like, just deputize him or whatever. Put him on the next commercial. Yeah. The next SEC, don't give me that chick running on the beach who's like, the SEC, it just means more. I don't need that. She's never gotten kidnapped by a South African gang and escaped in a gun battle, only to be more upset that you're starting quarterback club. This guy needs to be in it. Part of it warms my heart, and maybe that is just where I'm from and us being from the South, but it just means more, dog.
You got to own that and put that guy in an advertisement at the
Absolutely.
Very least.
Wait, you've got him, right? NIL? You want to talk about NIL?
Sign him up.
I'll give you some name. But this is the graphic you were talking about.
Yeah, and this I think this is from Chris Marler, so it's probably wrong somewhere. I'm just kidding, Chris. But I did find this interesting for all the people, well, from Nico's camp, saying this isn't about the money, it's about the style of offense, which Blaine put out an incredible tweet the other day and said,
yeah, cool.
Josh Heupel got Joe Milton drafted. Forget Hendon Hooker and the rest of them. But this is the average Josh Heupel quarterback from 2017 to 2023. Those are his numbers in the, or those are the total numbers in the column there. You can see points per game, yards per pass, yards per attempt, QBR, TDs, yards, and then quarterback rating. And then there's Nico's from 2024. And again, a lot of those were padded at the beginning of the year in non-conference play. And I was still bullish on Nico taking that next step. I think he has a lot of intangibles. He's a big guy. He can move, strong arm. But the stats don't lie.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's every stat that matters. You were less than what he had previously. And Cone, I think Nico does have all the intangibles. Mm-hmm. But you know what the biggest intangible is? And you know this better than anybody at quarterback. It's the mental side of it,
composure.
Which I thought he still looked a little slow reacting last year in the games that were sped up. I'm not talking against Chattanooga or the Sisters of the Perpetual Poor. I'm talking about against the big dogs. But the people that he has around him, that's huge. If I'm an NFL GM or a scout down the road, I am very concerned. And look, it's Nico's decision. I'm not saying go away from your family or anything like that. You choose it. But again, at the end of the day, it seems like his kryptonite isn't his potential or physical ability. It's the people that are around him that are giving him bad advice. At this point, I don't know how you don't consider it bad advice with this whole situation. Go ahead.
Well, not only is he worse in every single stat, but if you remember Tennessee football from last year, what did they have?
Everything else.
One of the best running games in the country. I believe 10th in the nation in the running game, and on defense ranked 7th.
Yep.
Yeah.
7th in points per game. Had every ample opportunity to succeed, but actually made Tennessee worse. Tennessee made the playoffs despite Nico being.
Because of the run game.
Yes, absolutely.
That's 100% why they did it.
Three more things here. Would you talk about the, you know, fake injuries that have sort of played college football recently because the NCAA announced a new rule change? And I don't think, if any of the three of us like this new rule change, feel free to speak up. I don't think this solves the problem.
You know, I love history, right? I love history, all type of history. I used to never understand, like, the French Revolution. Like, why would there be a coup d'etat? At what point do you get to the point of overthrowing something? But after watching the NCAA make decisions, just, I can understand we may need some sort of revolution. If you follow college football at all, the fake injury thing has been a huge talking point and a big problem where teams fake injuries on defense to slow down an offense that may be
going say up Lane
tempo.
Just say Lane.
It's not just Lane. I watched Auburn and Gus Malzahn do it. And there's a strategy to it that makes sense. It's like Trump said, if you want me to not take advantage of the tax loopholes, then fix the tax loophole. So the NCAA has been trying to figure out a way to handle this because on one hand, you have people that sometimes are legitimately injured and you want to make sure that you are taking care of the safety and the health of the athlete first. But in usual fashion, the NCAA could have made a simple adjustment and fixed it. But no, they're going to do something stupid. So, and this is from On3, the NCAA has announced a new college football rule change to combat faking injuries. And here it is. If medical personnel are forced to enter the field of play to evaluate an injured player after the ball is spotted by the officiating crew, which is the biggest thing here, the player's team will be charged a timeout. If that team does not have any remaining timeouts, a 5-yard delay of game penalty will be assessed. Here's the biggest problem with this. Players can fake injuries before the ball is spotted. Easy. Yeah. This fixes nothing. This fixes absolutely nothing. Because think about it. And it's even when Cone, if because they put the ball where it ends closest to that hash, right? If it's middle of the field, if it's left middle, if it's right middle, it's right hash, left hash. It takes time to spot the ball. These guys are faking injuries before the ball is spotted. And you say, Jake, don't just tell me about the problems, right? Tell me about the solution. I want to get to a solution. But let me give you a couple scenarios, Cone, that now when you look at this, if it's enforced, could be a humongous problem. What happens if it's fourth and four, or fourth and two, and an offense wants to go for it to seal the game? One more first down ends the game. And there's a big collision on the play. Offensive guy hit each other, right? The defensive team has no more timeouts, but they're going to try and get the ball back on this next fourth and two. What happens if they buzz down and say, hey, which happens in college football, we feel like the safety, that was head-to-head contact. We feel like he may have a concussion. Y'all need to go get him. Mm-hmm. And they run out on the field to go look at the safety. When you buzz down to do it, okay, and the medical personnel goes on there and he goes to the ground before the ball is spotted, yep. You going to give them the first down? You going to end the game because y'all buzzed it down? Here's how you fix it. And we've been saying this since the J-Boy show started. And it's like a 99-1 positive to negative ratio. I've seen nobody be able to combat it. Here's what you do. I don't care if it's before the ball is spotted or after the ball is spotted. If a guy goes down and he is injured and they have to bring the medical personnel on the field, that player has to sit the rest of the offensive series, or you could even change it to a minimum of four plays. Because two things are going to happen. One, that head coach is not going to want to lose a starter on defense because they faked an injury. Not worth it. So that'll eliminate it. And two, if medical personnel has to come on the field to get a guy, he's going to have to sit a couple plays anyway. So the rest of that drive or the rest of that series or until the ball changes hands or a minimum of four plays will totally fix this. It would fix it. It's easy. No team gets penalized on either side. Because, Cone, another scenario, what if a guy's in that same situation and it's fourth and two or it's third and four and they got to get the ball back and he's legitimately hurt and they have no timeouts left on defense and he knows that if he goes down to the ground, if he just pulled his hamstring and he goes down to the ground, they're going to give him a five-yard penalty to first down. Is he just going to sit down and let the wide receiver, if it's a corner, just run a go route? Because it's either that or I give him an automatic first down. So here we see this in basketball. If a guy gets injured sometimes, what do? They let the play continue. Then you have numbers at the other end and the guy scores. They do that in football, it's going to be a massive problem.
Yeah, worst of both worlds because, like you said, players can fake an injury to do what they're trying to do, which is to stop the offense from getting in a rhythm and go up tempo, just like an unofficial timeout, without medical personnel coming onto the field.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can disrupt the offensive rhythm. So you haven't solved that, which is the main problem. But then the second, which is even worse to me, is you're encouraging players who are injured not to seek medical personnel.
Exactly.
And, you know, I saw a lot of people on social media saying, well, it's after the ball spot. Like, that's the key component here. Well, if a guy tears an ACL, yes, you probably know he's injured and can't stand up from the moment that last play ends. But you're talking about concussions. Concussion's a big one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what if this guy's going into the wrong huddle after the ball is spotted? And plus, a lot of these up-tempo offenses, the ball's getting spotted quicker and quicker because the offense is going fast. That's the whole purpose of an up-tempo offense.
Well, Cone, what if a guy breaks? You know, we see coaches tell injured guys just to go down. Just to go down now on the field. What happens if you're in a scenario where you don't have any timeouts left and a guy breaks his hip? Am I supposed to stand up and wait for the ball to be spotted until I can go down and it's not a penalty? Like, to your point of encouraging guys that are actually hurt, like, no, stand up. Don't go down. The ball's not been spotted yet with your broken hip or your broken rib or with your concussion. But, Cone, what about the offensive side of this? What happens if you know, this has to be fair, the same for the offense, right? If the ball's not spotted, like it can't just be a defensive thing. What happens if a wide receiver, you're on a 2-minute drive and you've got one timeout left and a wide receiver gets hurt or whatever, and he goes down before the ball is spotted. If I'm a defensive coach, oh, hell no, that's a timeout, buddy. Take it away from them.
No, not for offense.
Yeah. Like, I'm interested to see.
We're just worried about y'all's side of the ball.
Yeah, of course. Wow, yeah.
Worry about us.
What's new?
All right, next one up here. Did you see this report that apparently Mike Leach, which, God rest his soul, still miss Coach Mike Leach. He said in a staff meeting one time, what if we have a little person on our team all the time for short yardage situations so we can give him the football and throw him over the goal line
or the
first down? And immediately, I got mad at myself. I'm mad now because I didn't think of this. So, and apparently he was talked out of it.
Okay, so getting a short person for short yardage plays to me is...
It's a short package.
This is the dwarf package. Yeah. It 100% is. Or we call it the Shire package.
What personnel group is this?
Yeah.
Double zero. Yeah.
9.5?
Minus two?
Okay. So there's two things here. One is the... I don't even know what to call it. Like the sizeism are part of it that some people say. And the other is like, what is the rule about launching a player? Because you're not allowed technically to pull a guy, but we allow teams to push a guy.
Yeah.
What about throwing a guy?
You have the rule?
It's illegal, coach.
Like on Wolf of Wall Street.
It's illegal?
It's illegal, coach.
It's
Rule 9, Section 3, Article 2B.
It's a bylaw.
Okay. No player may grasp, pull, lift, or charge into a teammate to assist him in forward progress. The violation is a 5-yard penalty.
I don't see throw in there. Lift. We can't toss Buddy over?
Lift.
Well,
that's see?
Semantics. Yeah, I mean, we can get into the semantics
of the word. Stallions on this. Let's find that great
area. I just think when they implemented that rule, they never thought it would be to stop this.
No.
Like, they never thought it would
only
be.
Only Mike Leach.
But this is the out-of-the-box thinking. This moves us forward. And you know what? I'm not a huge... I'm a merit guy, okay? I'm believe you should get where you get because of the merit, regardless of what you look like. But this is a little bit of DEI I can get behind, right? Getting a little person, get him involved, get him a role. It's like what they did to the dwarves on this new Snow White movie that nobody went and saw. It's a travesty. How many roles are there for dwarves? You had 7 roles you could have filled with dwarves.
Inclusion.
This could get us dwarves in college football, which, to me, Cone, is the next step or the first step of what we tried to come up with the DFL, the Dwarf Football League.
I'd watch.
Which we think is an absolute 100% winner. Not going to go too far down this road, but RIP Mike Leach. I mean, this is the same guy who left the fake play call sheet out on the field knowing the other team would go and they're on the field and find it. Like, it's this type of thinking, especially as a former special teams guy, I used to think, like, what is the most outside-of-the-box thing that we can do? I love this. I love this part of the game. God, I miss Mike Leach, man.
All right, last one up here. Lee Corso of College Game Day is going to retire after the first week of the season coming up. We've been wondering for a while now, when is Lee Corso going to hang it up? But this guy's still a part of my childhood. Growing up, watching College Game Day every single week, an absolute legend.
I mean, this guy, you want to talk about somebody who's given the sport way more than he's taken. And, you know, obviously now we can see the mental decline on television and he's getting older. He's done this for so long. I think they need to retire putting on the headgear as well. I don't think anybody else should do it. It's such
I don't
a,
think anyone else can.
I don't think they can.
McAfee? You don't think McAfee? That's why they brought McAfee on there?
No, that's like having a program that's coached by Nick Saban and then letting Lane Kiffin run it right after him. That changing of the guard just doesn't make sense to me. I'm a little skeptical, though, because I feel like, and I know this is an announcement on social media, I feel like we do this every year, though. Like, every year during game day, there's one where they're like, Lee, thanks for the memories. Like, this is it. And, like, everybody's crying. It's emotional. And it brings back that nostalgia of us growing up and seeing Lee Corso do it. Do we think he's really actually going to retire?
I don't think we've gone this far, have we?
I don't think it's gone, but I'm...
This is it.
I'm hoping it's it.
What's the game going to be?
I'm hoping it's
it. Is it a fish? Have they announced? There's no way they've announced it.
I don't think so.
It's got to be Texas.
Don't you think it's...
Well, they're talking about Texas and Buckeyes, but I saw Danny Cannell tweeting. He's like, it has to be Florida State hosting Alabama. I mean, he was at Florida State.
Yeah.
That one would make sense, too.
Yeah, so I think your first mistake was listening to Danny Cannell's tweet.
I'm not listening to him. I'm saying that he made a good point,
He's going to go to the biggest game. He's got to go to the biggest game. That's going to be Texas-Ohio State. If you're going to do Lee Corso right, I mean, Florida State, Alabama, Florida State won one game last year.
Guys, his game, like, we love Kirk Herbstreit. We love Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, legend. Awesome.
I don't mind McAfee. I like Reese Davis, even though he's never messaged me back when I've asked him to come on the show. Is game day falling off? Like,
yeah,
it's feels I didn't watch like it last it's fallen year. Off.
Which I'm okay with like Lee Corso going. I'm okay with game day falling off because I mean Lee Corso. I mean, it was a point where he was college football man with the headgear, the X's and O's. Saturday mornings, I would wake up as a kid, and the first thing Saturday morning, I was waiting to see what headgear Lee Corso
and the music, the promo music, we're coming. To your city.
Called that one kid a midget.
Called the one kid a midget.
Which was hilarious, which he had to apologize for, which I still think is stupid.
Did he? He had to apologize?
Yeah.
The apology should be he gets to go in the game and get tossed over the
goal. Yeah.
I'm not apologizing to the kid I brought on the game.
I wish Lee Corso would call me a midget.
Yeah.
How great that would be?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Top five.
Lee Corso would call me anything.
Top five.
But no, an absolute legend. And he's definitely going to miss. I do, before we go, guys, something that kind of broke before we got in today, because I want your opinion on it. Did you see where Deion Sanders called out Virginia for trying? So Deion Sanders calls out Virginia, they say ACC school, it's Virginia, for trying to poach a current Colorado player with an NIL bag. He said, Virginia, you got to stop. I let you have one. I ain't say nothing about it. Come on now. But we got to be on. Like, okay, I get you're defending your program. But we're going to act like Colorado hasn't done the... And everybody's doing it. Like, tampering? Come on. Like, I get you defend your guard... You guard your yard, as they say in basketball. Those are your guys. But do you feel like this is hypocritical?
Well, you need me to say yes to that? Or are you just trying to set me up? If you read me that quote right there, I could have told you who said it. Okay? I thought the whole point was for these kids to get a bag. I thought that's what Deion Sanders cared most about, for them to get a bag. So if Virginia can pay your football players more than you can pay them, I thought you'd be happy for them.
Damn, that's
tampering, Dave.
I thought Prime would be happy for them if they can go make more money elsewhere. Am I wrong?
Well, only if they're in the transfer portal can you offer them the bag.
Oh,
right.
Gotcha.
If I'm Colorado,
you can't talk to them.
Deny. Everybody's tampering us? No. Yeah. Look, we're focused on what's in front of us and the guys we have here. Mm. All right? The perfect answer.
Yeah. It's an interesting story.
Because I'm pretty sure Colorado's center on the all.
Yeah. His name's Cash Cleveland,
Cash,
I think.
Yeah. He just entered the portal. Awesome.
And he said if...
Someone get this guy a guitar.
If Shadur's last name wasn't Sanders, we wouldn't even be talking about this jersey retirement stuff. I was like, you're right.
We know.
You're right.
We know.
Cones closed it out on a banger here. On Good Friday, we hope everybody has an amazing Easter weekend. We appreciate you guys joining us. Thanks to Pete Nekos from On3. Just a crazy story the way it went down with Nico, obviously, in Tennessee. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. We got some more great content coming for you next week. And as usual, we appreciate you. And like the chances of me not enjoying going over and having some nice Easter ham at David Cone's house. We're going. Gone.